This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And we're back with another episode of the Brother and Sister Rewatch. I am Kevin here with my sister, Mary. How you doing, Bear?
What's going on, guys?
She's very tired. Don't let her sunny disposition.
It's a really cold fall day. All I want to do is snuggle up on the couch.
She's yawning. It's horrible. If you hear, like, yawns into the microphone, it's all because of her. But we are back this week. We are covering Season 3, Episodes 11 and 12 from The Office. And you're going to give us the recap from last week.
I am. So last week, we discussed Season 3, Episode 9, The Convict, and a Benihana Christmas.
That was good.
So, The Convict is essentially, they find out that they have a former convict working at the office. They figure out that it's somebody from Stanford, and it turns out to be Martin Nash, where we get a mixture of racism jokes, and then they turn into, like, elitist jokes.
Yeah.
Like, standards of class, essentially. Martin's a really good guy, though, and he's like, yeah, you guys want to know about it? I'll tell you all about prison. And he kind of pulls, like, a quick one on Michael and kind of turns the whole office against him, like, making fun of him because he thinks the office is great. Mm-hmm. And they all say, like, well, prison sounds better.
Yeah, they all take an opportunity to, like, get under Michael's skin because they know the one thing he cares about more than anything is Dunder Mifflin and the work environment that creates friendship. Yeah, it creates friendship and family.
So, Michael gets frustrated and locks him in the office, and it takes Toby to kind of reason with them to say, like, listen, Michael, they're making fun of you. They're joking around, Michael.
It was good stuff.
It was really funny. But then it turns out that, Martin quit.
Yeah.
Because he...
ends on a sour note.
Yeah. Couldn't take the judgmental Angela, I'm assuming. And then, a Benihana Christmas... Michael tries to surprise his girlfriend with, you know, all expenses paid trip to Sandals, Jamaica. Mm. And she's like, you're insane. You sent out a Christmas card where you photoshopped your photo on a family photo of me and my kids skiing with my ex-husband. I'm done. So Andy takes him out to, as he says, the Asian Hooters.
Yep.
To Benihana for a lunch.
Delightful.
He gets a rebound with one of the waitresses, brings her back to the Christmas party. Meanwhile, Karen and Pam and Angela duke it out for the party planning committee. And
for supremacy of Christmas parties.
Yes, where Angela has a Nutcracker Christmas and Pam and Karen have a margarita karaoke.
A Jimmy Buffett Christmas.
Yeah, seriously. And everybody has to choose which party is best until Pam finally throws up the white flag and...
they have a truce. You
know, they have a truce.
And everybody's friends.
Party. Yeah.
And Oscar showed up.
Oscar showed up for a hot second and then left because it was a hot mess.
Which, I mean, it's not a spoiler or anything, but I was shocked not to see him in these two episodes. Mm-hmm. After he reappeared, I was like, oh, he'll be coming back to the office. But, like, they didn't touch upon it in these two episodes.
Nope.
So
that brings us to this week, season three, episode 11, Back from Vacation.
Are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready. Are you ready to take this away, dude?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. So I enjoyed these episodes. I thought they were good. I didn't think they were great, but I thought they were plus. They were plus plus.
They were funny.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. And you know what? Because last week I went off on that tangent about lack of combining character development with comedy. They did it. Guess what? They did it twice, and it was good. They can do it. They're capable. But anyway.
And they were both 21-minute episodes.
So. Yes, they were sprints, and I like them that way. I don't like these elongated episodes. But so we get the cold open of this episode. Jim is running a sales meeting because Michael is on vacation to Sandals, Jamaica. So he's, like, running it normal, like a normal person, and Dwight pulls out, like, a tape recorder and starts recording because Michael's on vacation, and he wants them recorded and transcribed by Dwight.
God. Like, he's ever going to read them.
Yeah. So, like, Jim kind of, like, goes about, he's like, well, Karen, he starts normally, and then he just starts getting... Dwight, stop taking your pants off. He starts saying insane stuff into the microphone.
Oh my God, is that a Muppet Baby tattoo?
Yeah, and like everybody around the table picks up, like Phyllis, Karen, Ryan, they all pick up on it. And then Andy ruins it all by going, Walker. And I am cutting off Phyllis's head with a chainsaw.
Yeah, he does a sound effect too. Yeah.
And everybody just looks at him. It's very reminiscent of something Michael would do.
Yes.
Where he, like the...
he takes it too far.
Like the episode with the theater group or the improv group.
Oh, yeah, and he always has a gun.
And he like just jumps up and everybody's like, ugh, we were having a good time, you know?
Yep. But I like this cold open because it's solid.
Oh, it's good, yeah.
It gives intel into the episode. It references Michael being on vacation.
I don't know why, but, like, the funniest line was when Karen goes, is that a Muppet Baby tattoo on your stomach? I grew up watching Muppet Babies.
That is Animal from the Muppet Babies.
I'm a huge mark for Muppet Babies. So.
You can't even see my stomach.
Animal! Okay. So we go to the show opening proper, and Mike arrives back from vacation with a ton of, like, packages in his hands.
Yep.
And he goes to Pam, expecting that Pam is going to be like, oh my god, how was vacation? How great was it? But she just goes back into normal mode. She's like, here's some messages for you. And then this kind of got under my skin. She goes, Hannah quit. Something about complaining about being a working mom.
Well, she said something to Memos, sent it to Memos about being a working mom, and that he might have to be deposed?
I don't know. See, I'm pissed
that's
because...
that's what got me confused. I was like, so, because, let's be honest, last week we talked a lot about how Hannah was like...
A bitch?
but her character was being brought out.
Yeah.
And we were like, wow, she can stand up to Angela, and Angela's not giving her back sass.
They just wrote her off.
Yeah, exactly.
And it pissed me off because, like, we saw Tony go, we saw Martin go out, they all went out in blazes of glory, and then this one where it should have been, like, because she had that attitude.
No, she should have been like, fuck you, screw you, like, told everybody off.
Because the other guys seemed easygoing, she had the attitude to make it, like, this big blow-off, and they just write her off screen.
Like,
off screen.
I'm going back to Stanford!
Yeah, off screen, I was like, son of a bitch, I was looking forward to that.
And I kind of wish we got some more, like... Maybe I'm just an idiot, but I don't understand what Pam was like, something to Memo, like wrote to Memo or whatever, and you might have to be deposed. Like,
well, maybe because
I need more information why there's going to be a legal battle.
Would that be like a workplace complaint? Like, was it harassment or?
No. She just said like she wrote it to Memo or something like that. But I mean, like, her office allowed her to pump. When and where she wanted. Her office allowed her to bring her baby in when she wanted. Like, it's not like they put any restrictions on her. So I can only imagine what this legal battle is going to be.
I'm curious. Cause, like I said, I'm just sad that it was off screen. Like, they just brought it up.
It could have been a great... Like, that could have been an awesome cold open.
Like, or an ending. Like, the big blow-off, like I said. But anyway, Mike basically just wants her to ask him how Jamaica was. And she does, and he basically just starts saying Mon a lot. Hey, Mon! That's it. So, and there's a thing going on with Jim and Karen here.
Yeah.
And there's a talking head where Karen says she still hasn't found an apartment to live.
Ooh.
And she found one that was two blocks away from Jim's house, but he said it would basically be like living together in different houses two blocks away. And you could tell she's pissed about it.
I would be, too.
Yeah, Jim's being very dickish here, to carry on last week's theme. Now we go to Michael. He's in his office playing steel drums, just going hot, 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 like that. What was that? That was Buster Poindexter in the 80s, I think it was.
I think so. I'm feeling hot.
Yeah,
hot,
then
hot.
It was in like car commercials and shit.
Yeah, it got really commercialized. Yes.
So Pam's in there with him, and he tells Pam that he went on vacation so he could miss inventory because she tells him they have inventory to do.
Yeah.
And so he's like disappointed by that, but he wants to turn it into a luau. He wants to bring the beach with him back. He wants to live that island lifestyle. Which I can say, every time I go to a beach location, I do come home thinking, like, beach bum lifestyle, dude. Like,
yeah, but what I love about this is Michael's like, nobody works there. Nobody has inventory. They just party and relax. And she goes, it's a pretty impoverished country.
Yeah. Like, Jamaica's a third world country.
Yeah. Like, what are you talking about?
He thinks they're all just, like, chilling.
Yeah, they're all just hanging out in sandals because they live there.
Yeah, so he goes, he tells Angela in the party planning committee that he wants a luau for inventory tonight. And she's like, it's impossible. And he's like, nope, you make it happen. The Jamaicans don't have a word for impossible. And Jim tells him, no, it's English. It's impossible.
But this makes me question, because last week they literally were planning the Christmas party the day of.
Maybe they didn't have funding.
I don't know, because she's just like, we can't do this in one day. It's impossible. But it's like, wait, you called Phyllis's orange blouse Horace the same day as the Christmas party last week.
So awesome. So everybody is wrangled into the conference room, and Pam and Jim is James. Jim saves a seat for Karen, but she ignores him and goes to the back. Total power move. I love it.
Yep.
And Michael's showing pics of his vacation. He wants everyone to have, like, the no shoes, no shirt, no problem, like, Kenny Chesney attitude.
Yep.
And Pam spots Jim in a photo. Jim! Fuck! Jan! I can't speak! She spots Jan in the photo in a bikini.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael does a talking head where he says he could get in trouble, and Jan told him not to say anything, but they saw each other there. They didn't stay together. God. And he just starts rambling, and there's little, like, sentence fragments and phrases where he just at one point goes, sex. We had sex.
I saw her in our room.
We had sex together.
At night, in the morning.
I had sex with Jan.
Yeah, like, the whole time.
It's bizarre. So, then we show Michael in his office. He's on a call with Packer, and he tells him, but Packer doesn't believe it. No. You weren't with the Ice Queen. It's so great. So Michael says...
But he's, like, bragging about how he took Jan.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So in one session, he's saying, like, she told me we could really get into a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
And then he turns around and tells one of his subordinates...
Because Packer is his bro.
I know, but it's still a subordinate of him.
No, we've learned one thing. He doesn't think of Packer as a subordinate. Yeah, Packer is almost superior to him because he's such
a
dude.
He looks up to Packer.
Because he's well hung.
Oh, my God. William Hung.
So, Michael emails him a pic of Jan on the beach getting, like, oiled up by Michael, I guess it is.
Topless.
Yeah. Well, she's not...
She's laying down.
She's laying down on her stomach.
She doesn't have a top on.
Yeah, she's on her stomach. Her top is off. And Michael's, like, posing above her. And he sends it to Packer, but Packer...
He has a sandals t-shirt, too, nonetheless.
He looks like such a knob. But Packer doesn't get it. And it turns out Michael sent it to packaging@dundermifflin.com.
Yep.
So then Packer goes, oh, wait, some other dude just sent it to me. Hot. So then we open up. Michael's sprinting down.
How do I Photoshop you out of this? That was Packer's comment.
He's going to spank off to it.
No.
Michael sprints down the hall to the warehouse to find Daryl and asks him if he received the email. And Daryl says yes, and he already forwarded it to several people. Now, people in the office see it. Kevin has it up on his computer. And Jim and Pam are in the break room.
Mm-hmm.
She asks if everything is all right because Jim looks a little down. Mm-hmm. And he says, well, there's something with Karen. And she sits down and talks to him about it.
Yeah.
And Jim's like, oh, thank you, Pam.
Well, she's trying to be friends.
She,
like, she sees it as, you know what, he's trying to move on. I respect that and I get it. It sucks because I might still like him. This is all just me.
Yeah, I know. You're armchair psychology.
Yeah. But I do have a minor in it, Kevin. But I think, like, she's genuinely trying to be like, you know what, I want to try to be friends with him
She wants
again.
To see him happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Michael is with Dwight now in the office, like around everybody, and he's telling Dwight that he has a secret mission for him regarding the email.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see Pam finishing up talking to Jim, telling him to be easy on Karen, which is Pam's way, I think, of saying she's in the right, don't be an ass.
Yeah, you're being a little tough.
And Jim thanks her. Then Michael's back at, oh, go ahead.
I just have a question, and this is in regards to the Michael email thing.
Okay.
So he goes down, he talks to Daryl, right? Daryl's like eating chicken wings.
Yeah.
And he's saying, I'm really busy. Why? Okay. This is what, 2007?
Yeah,
2008?
Yeah, 2007.
Okay. Email recall is a thing in Microsoft Office.
Was that a thing in 2007?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I just learned how to do it within the last year because I'm an idiot.
See, back in the late 90s when I had AOL on the desktop,
God.
And there was a thing where you could send an email to someone. But if they hadn't opened it yet, you can unsend it, right?
That's what I mean, like an unsend, a recall.
But I mean, I guess people opened it immediately, so that would be useless, because Packer got it almost instantly from the other person.
I guess, but like, as soon as he realized, like, packaging, like, he could have at least attempted
he just kind of,
down.
Well, I mean, I've been in, not in this kind of situation, but there's situations where we do something and we immediately regret it, but we just panic, we don't do what's normal,
that's
you know?
True.
So Michael's in his office, and Toby comes in, shuts the door, and he says, 9 people have sent me this email, including my ex-wife, and we don't talk. And that's when Michael says, well, maybe it's a good icebreaker for you.
This is the icebreaker you needed.
And Toby tells him he must, like, disclose a relationship to HR, and Michael just basically calls Toby a perv.
He
wants to
know all... skeevy little perv. Yeah. Of course you'd want all the gushy details.
And he basically says, Jan told me we're not in a relationship, so I don't have to report it.
But no, wait. When Toby first comes in, though, and says, like, Michael, if you're in a relationship, he goes, well, if you're telling me that you broke into my computer and stole a personal photo of mine and sent it around, like, he tries to blame it on Toby.
He turns it around. It's awesome. But, I
poor
mean,
Toby. Why does he even try?
He basically just says, I heard what I need. Thank you, Michael. And
seriously.
Now we go to the party planning committee. They're scrambling to put together a luau.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about suckling pigs. And Angela's, like, I think Phyllis said, we can't find a pig anywhere. And Angela says, check the petting zoos.
Oh, yeah.
Now Pam is telling Mike, because Michael's outside playing his steel drum.
By himself, just going, hot, hot.
Very lowly. It's like barely tapping it.
God.
You can tell he's like depressed.
Oh, he is upset.
And
at
Pam
this
tells
point.
Him Jan is on the line. And, oh no, I'm sorry. This is something totally different. Pam tells Mike that Jan's on the phone because he's coming out of his office, and he like starts saying, "I'm out of gas. I hit a deer. And she just says, "He'll call you back, Jan." And so, Dwight gets Michael in his office, and he tells him there's a situation in the warehouse. And Michael's like, "What, is it an accident? Somebody hurt?" And he goes, "It's with the photograph." And I could have swear, I've rewound this 5 times. I can swear to God, Michael Scott says, "Fuck." Very loudly. I'm positive he says, "Fuck."
I'll have to go back and look.
Because he has, like, paper clips. He throws them up in the air and goes, "Fuck." But, like, it's really fast. Like, "Fuck." Like, you would be, like, indecipherable. Or, like,
so you can't tell if he's going, like, "Ah."
Yeah, it's like a sound, but I swear to God, he says, "Fuck."
Okay, I'm positive. I have to go back and look at this.
But they don't censor it. That's the best part. It's, like, it's really good. It's really good. But
maybe it was one of those things where, like, they got it past censorship by being like, "Well, you really can't tell just, what the word is."
From closed captioning, just put indecipherable. So they sprint again to the warehouse, and Michael goes in there, and there's a big poster. They blew up the picture of him and Jan and put it up on the wall. And all the guys start clapping.
Roy's like, "You're the man, Michael!" Yeah,
they're all cheering him on. And him and Dwight turn around and run back to the office.
Oh my God, he gets a standing ovation.
It's pretty funny. So they get back to the office, and Michael, like, addresses the situation. He refuses to say it's Jan, but he says, "There's a picture of me and a woman. You should delete it. We'll be professional."
Trying to cover his ass.
And this is when they come back, and Michael's outside playing hot, hot, hot. And and Pam tells him that Jan is on the way to see him. So we go. There's a luau.
We are in the luau.
We have a luau. And Angela's cutting up Spam.
Oh, God.
And they're just playing steel drum music. And they're all in the warehouse. I guess they're just counting, like, everything in there, right?
Yeah, they're doing inventory.
So it's not office. It's not, like, office supplies and stuff.
No, which is really throwing me off why the office workers have to do inventory in the warehouse.
Yeah. That is different, right? Because, yeah. I mean, we both worked retail in college.
Yeah, I mean,
Wasn't inventory the worst?
Inventory was the absolute worst. Oh, because God. You would start at, like, 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And it would always go into opening. And I'm sorry, guys, but if you're a customer and you are a douchebag, like, I fucking hate you. Like, the ones that move shit. Like, when you're looking at somebody and they're counting.
Why wouldn't they shut the store down for a day?
Because,
I know, they lose money. Loss. I know the revenue loss.
Well, but, so, like, even, like, a late opening.
Or overnight.
Yeah.
Like, why not? I would have
done it overnight.
When the store's closed. It's so stupid.
But it really was, like, hell, especially, like, when Marshalls got... I used to work at Marshalls. I think I've mentioned that before. Yeah.
Clothing store.
Yeah,
they used to... Wait, you get your shop opportunities there.
Yeah, my shop opportunity. they, like, went into, like, the shoe department where they used to have, like, those large shelves with no boxes, and then they got boxes. Mm. That was the biggest shit show.
Why, because people would mix up shoes and boxes and stuff? Oh my God,
it was terrible. That was the first time I ever took a 5-hour energy shot, was during inventory.
And now you can't stop.
I never took one again because my skin started getting tingly. Like, I felt like I was...
That used to happen when I would take pre-workout. Yeah, I'd take pre-workout.
But, like, my skin got tingly and itchy, and my boss was like, "Mary, you literally haven't shut up for 3 hours. Like, go into the break room and just
usually,
calm down."
Usually that's standard, so you must have been really
out
of it.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I was just like a chainsaw. Like, you wound me up and I just went... So, but anyway,
yeah, so Jim comes up to Karen in one of the aisles, and he tells her that it's all good.
He dropped this.
Yeah, he gives her a paper. I guess it's a listing.
Or like a renter's agreement or application or something.
So Karen runs over to Pam and thanks her for talking to Jim and, you know, putting his head on right and everything. And she's like, "Oh, anytime."
You were totally in the right.
Yeah. And then we cut to Pam, who's in the hallway on a bench crying her eyes out.
Yep.
And Dwight comes by, and his first question, "Who did this to you?
Where is he?"
Yeah, and he looks around, like, all crazy-eyed. And
this might be my favorite Dwight scene.
Oh, this is great. I think it's great for many reasons.
Yes.
And he takes off his jacket, and he looks like he's going to put it on her, and then he ties it around her waist like Eddie Vedder with...
his waist.
Around his waist, yeah. He ties the jacket around his waist like Eddie Vedder with a flannel. Like,
yeah.
And he just goes, "It's hot."
He gives her...
He was going to do it, but he, like, thought better of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, what if Angela walked out? That's a very, very precarious situation. What if Roy popped out?
Ooh. So he offers her a hanky, which looked kind of discolored and dirty. And he sits with her, puts his arm around her.
Like, so awkwardly, though. Like, so, like, the only thing I can compare it to is, like, a square putting its arm around a circle.
Yeah, he's very wooden. Kind of like the time our youngest brother acted like Mickey Mouse. for our cousin's kid's party, he put
Mr.
on...
Mr. Mouse.
He put on... Oh, yeah, because copyright. Yeah, he put on the Mr. Mouse costume for the party, and he was, like, all awkward. He's going to listen to this and hate my guts, but it's awesome. But that's how Dwight looked.
Yeah.
And he ends this scene so perfectly. He looks at it and goes, "So you're PMSing pretty hard, huh?" That's so great.
And Pam's just like, "You know what, fuck it. I don't care."
So yeah. We go back to the warehouse, and a forklift runs over the steel drum of Michael's. And Michael just...
It lets out the most depressed noise. Boom! It's like, bong, bong.
And Michael looks down at it, like, he doesn't even react. Cry. He's just like, yep, this is how
that's,
it's going.
That's my day.
And Jan arrives, and she asks Michael to join her in his office.
Oh, but wait, we forgot that Luke...
The Kevin?
Fuck? No, during the luau, like, right at the beginning... Dwight came up to Michael and he's like, "Michael, I've demanded that they take down the poster and I removed all of the copies from the bathroom."
Yes. Oh, yeah. So the poster's no longer in the warehouse. Anyway.
Yes.
Should
when
be
Jen
noted.
Gets there, because otherwise this yes. could have gotten a little hanky.
So, hanky.
Hanky.
So, she walks up, you know, the steps to the main office, and Michael does this death walk, and it's great because it's quiet except for like steel drum music in the background on like an iPod.
I was just waiting like the dun dun dun.
Yeah, it was. It was like an imperial march. Oh, it was so great. And so he joins Jan in his office,
mm-hmm.
and Jan doesn't bring up the
He's
photo.
Terrified,
she's calm.
Yeah,
and she pretty
but
much
she looks like.
She looks like she's done.
Yeah.
She's cooked. Like, I can't believe this happened, but I'm trying to keep it together.
Yeah.
And she starts telling Mike, like, "My psychiatrist says I have self-destructive tendencies and that I should indulge them."
Indulge in it, yeah.
Yes. And she needs to find happiness, even if it means she must lower her expectations or even redefine the word.
And she's like, "Do you understand what I'm saying?" And Michael's like, "Yep."
And who's Dr. Perry?
Yes.
So... she's going on that she's attracted to him, and that he's wrong for her in every way, but she finds herself wanting to be with him. And he's just like, okay. Like, he's
it's
like...
It's the most...
He's blindsided.
Way.
Yeah, he's blindsided, because he was expecting to get reamed out, maybe even lose his job. Like, and she's there, like, saying she wants to be with him, even though they're, like, fucking damaged, both of them.
Yeah.
So he gets up, and she's like... He's like, "Thanks, Jan." You know, he's like, all sheepish... And then she pushes him up against the door and starts making out with him.
Yeah.
Like, feverishly. She's like, "I didn't see any tongue, but it was close."
Yeah.
And,
she's like, "Make an excuse to meet me at your condo in 15.
And he's like, "Oh, okay." And then as she's walking out, he goes, "Jan." And she turns around and he goes, "You complete me." And he does the circle motion with his fingers.
And she's just, like, disgusted. She's like, "What the hell am I doing?"
And she's like, "Why am I doing it? But I'm doing it anyway."
Yep.
And... then we go down to the warehouse, and Roy is flirting with Pam, and she's digging it.
Well, they're talking about their honeymoon, how she wanted to go to Hawaii, and he wanted to go to Mexico.
And he was right.
And he was right, and they both start
sucks.
Giggling.
Yeah. So that's cool. And then, you know, it ends here with Kevin rolling up the poster of Jan and Michael, and just saying, "I don't have a lot of art at my house."
Oh my
so he's
God.
Taking the poster.
Which, he's engaged,
yeah,
is he not?
He's getting married to Stacy, I believe her name is. And he has a
12-year-old
girl in the house.
Stepdaughter, yeah.
So that's the end of the episode. So what did you rank it?
I gave it a 4.2.
I gave it a 4. I thought it was really funny.
I thought it was really funny. I, like, actually laughed out loud at a lot of these parts.
Mm-hmm.
Loved Dwight and Pam's scene.
Yeah,
like, loved that so much.
He was
so
human for once.
You're PMSing pretty hard, huh? Like, and just, like, the look in his eyes, like, he was actually human.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't have any ulterior motives or anything like that. Like, he was genuinely being cared
in a weird way. It's the most, like, you don't even see him act that way with Angela.
Yeah.
So, like, to see him with Pam like that was kind of different. It was funny as I saw another side of the character.
Yeah.
And I guess the first thing we should talk about is why is Pam crying when she did it? She did it to herself.
She did do it to herself, but I think, like, she's now realizing, like, wow, I really do have deeper feelings for him than
you think it's,
like,
a realization?
I think it's a realization, like, oh, wow, like, all of this time I pushed him away, even though I probably wanted him the whole time. And now, for once, like, I finally realized my feelings, and I literally just pushed him into the arms of another woman. And now I'm lonely.
But she won't be for long, because that flirting with Roy looks
she's
pretty
flirting
good.
Like, mother.
See, I just, I just wish, this is a problem with the human condition, not just these characters on the show, is that people are afraid to say things or put themselves out there, especially when it comes to matters of the heart.
Yeah.
And I guess that is, like, I mean, I know I give a lot of guff to the whole Jim Pam thing, but at the same time, it's very relatable, I think, to a lot of us.
Oh, yeah.
That when we have feelings for one another, especially if there are other people involved, like relationships, significant others, and whatnot, that we don't know exactly how to express that, and if we do express that, what the consequences of that are for the relationship we're in, for the other relationship, for you two as individuals, you know what I mean? So I get why people would be hesitant to do it, and that is what makes the Jim Pam thing, I guess, go, for as long as it has been going.
And I think Pam's whole thing right now is, like, she saw what happened when she did reject him. She lost her best friend.
Yeah.
She lost him.
She lost Roy, too.
She lost Roy. She lost Jim.
Maybe that's something we should talk about for a brief... I'm sorry to cut you off. Well, finish your thought. Go ahead.
No, I think, like, she now sees that, and she's like, I would rather... Like, when she was trying to help him with Karen, I think she saw it as, well, at least I'll still have him in my life as a friend.
Okay.
And I lost that before. We're finally getting back to being friends. At least he's in my life.
Okay.
And now she's like... Oh shit. I don't want him to just be a friend. And now now that I've realized that, I've already pushed him towards somebody else.
Okay. Now, this is the problem I have with the Pam character, is that she came to her senses and realized that her and Roy weren't a perfect match, and she called off a wedding. She went so far. Why would she immediately run back to Roy when she already knew it wasn't right?
It's a comfort thing, man. I think for her, again...
But doesn't she have friends telling her, like, why are you doing this?
No, Jim is her friend. I don't know if Pam has a lot of friends outside the office. We've not seen that.
I guess.
I mean, think about it. Every time we ever heard her talk about our weekend plans, it was always with Roy and his brother.
Yeah.
Always.
Can't wait to see him.
Just but like, you know what I mean? Like, it was always, oh, me and Roy and his brother. Me, Roy, and his brother.
Yeah.
Me, Roy, and his brother. Which on our first date do a hockey
We're
game.
Getting the water skis out or whatever.
Yeah, like, it's always them. So, I don't know if Pam has a lot of friends. And I don't know if her friends... I don't know if she talks to her friends about Jim.
Okay. Well, that's fair. Well, she talks to her mom about him.
She talks to Yeah, I mean, my mom is one of my best friends, so... Well, our mom is one of my best friends.
Yeah, I was going to say, we have the same woman who birthed us. Okay, we talked about Jim and Pam. What do you think about Michael and Jim?
Michael just gets himself into these, like, precarious situations.
Yeah, I don't know how to describe it.
So naturally.
Well, you know what he reminds me of? One of my friends, he's an old coworker. We've stayed in touch through the years. And he told me that of all of his friends, I live the most complicated, uncomplicated life.
What?
Yeah, I guess because, like, of all these stories from, like, when we used to work together and stuff like that. And, like, stuff that I've told him over the years. He's like, out of all my friends, you're, like, live the most uncomplicated, complicated life. And I don't know what that means exactly.
No, I don't either.
But, like, that phrase, I think of Michael. Because he's very simple, in a
he's
way.
He's so simple, but, like, but he complicates everything.
Yeah, and these situations come up, and they just, like, manifest themselves in odd ways, you know what I mean? That's what I think,
like,
about.
My husband's brother, my brother-in-law, he got a taste of what it was like to grow up in our family this weekend.
Oh, that's right.
We had a Memorial 5K this weekend, and my brother-in-law ran it and came in second place to my younger cousin.
Well, also, let's say, in my age group, I came in third place. I just want to throw that out there.
In third place.
I was running like a motherfucker.
I did the fun walk. But my brother-in-law came in second place, and my father, our father...
Yes. Why do you keep saying
that? I don't know.
We have the same parents.
I'm trying to remember that. He walked up to him and said, Jeff, congratulations on being second loser. And I looked at him and I said, welcome to my childhood.
I've been hearing that since Little League, man.
Yeah.
when you lose a game, you're first loser. You're
so
not second
complicated,
place.
Uncomplicated. Yeah. I get it.
But, like, Michael is, I don't know. Like, Jan's character is insanely crazy.
She's insane.
Yeah.
Like, actually clinically
and
insane.
It's funny because for two seasons she held it together.
So well.
Yeah.
But I think once the divorce came through, the floodgates of crazy opened.
Which, I mean, happens to a lot of people. Like, I'm not shaming her by
any
means.
No,
I'm just saying that, like, when it comes to, like, the character of her and Michael Scott, like,
she's done a 180.
Yeah, she's probably more bizarre than him in a way. You know what I mean?
I think Michael is just like you said, Michael's the best word is simple.
Yeah, he's simple. He's just a little weird, a little off. Socially
inept.
Socially inept.
And she's like actually clinically insane where I could see her being like, I murdered him, yeah, but he deserved
she it. She seems like manic depressive.
Yeah.
To seesaw like that. Yeah. Well, she has her episodes, you know, for sure.
For sure.
And, yeah, it's only the beginning of, I guess, where this is going.
No, this is a roller coaster ride I do not want
to
get off.
So I'm curious to see where it goes. I don't think they touched on it in the next step. No, it wasn't even touched on at all in the next episode. So do you have anything else you want to touch on?
No, I think that was a great episode overall.
Yeah. Why did you dock it? You didn't give it full five.
The Hannah thing.
Exactly. Really made me mad. I was going to say the same thing. That was the full point.
We went on like a 5-minute tirade at the beginning of this episode because of all of the, again, the potential loss.
That could have been a
monumental cold open.
I docked a full point from the episode because that angered me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like we said, potential failure.
Yeah.
But
Andy, like, in the cold open,
that was fine.
No, for me, he's, like, that was so annoying.
But that's his character.
I know.
At least it was true to what the character's supposed to be. But
no, the majority of the points docked were because of the Hannah.
Exactly.
It was just a gap. It was a miss. Mm-hmm. That's all.
So, we're done with that episode. Next, we're going to do Season 3, Episode 12, Traveling Salesman.
Yes.
Salesman. But it said man. It says man. Yeah, it does in the title. Okay. But anyway, we're going to handle that right after this.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And welcome back to the show. This is the halftime intermission portion of the show where we put ourselves, as well as our partners at Place to Be Nation, over. And we're going to tell you right now what's going on at the PTBN pop feed. First off, check out the Heart Traveling Fanboys continue their long book hunters escapades by reading a Legion of Superheroes story called The Great Darkness Saga. DC4U kicks off a month of DC Comics' best horror offerings with a list of Russell and Todd's favorite scary DC stories, plus a look at the Keanu Reeves Constantine film of 2005. This week in the NFL hits weekly as well, with Roger and Johnny recapping the last set of games, previewing the upcoming weekend's batch as well. Siblings Kevin and Mary host the Brother and Sister Rewatch podcast.
Wah, wah, wah.
So listen to us. Ginny and Miranda share a huge announcement on Geek and Sassy number 36, and then reveal the winner of their giveaway contest. On Laugh-In Theater number 12, Andy welcomes David Sunday to live watch So I Married an Axe Murderer. On Looking Forward, Looking Back, it's the summer movie recap and wager results. Andy is joined by Miranda, Scott, Tim, and Russell to see who won. Okay, so the greatest song of the 80s tournament ended last week, guys.
Boo.
I know. Great. Great.
It was awesome.
It was a great time, but yeah. Sweet Child of Mine won.
Ugh.
I think Eye of the Tiger came in fourth place. Third place was Purple Rain, and second runner-up was Don't Stop Believin' by Journey. Sad.
I'm sorry, but really?
Sweet Child of Mine sucks. I know.
I mean, it's an 80s anthem. Don't get me wrong.
But it sucks.
But it's not like... it's not iconic. When I think of the 80s, I don't think of that.
No, not at all. That's like a rock standard.
Yeah. And I mean, like, hair bands, let's be honest, that was like late 70s, early 80s for me.
What? Hair bands?
No, like the crazy hair. Like Slash with his fucking, I'm just going to wear a hat and not see your face. That's 80s. I mean, but it wasn't throughout the whole of the 80s.
No, it was just the tail end. But, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, there were more songs that I think are iconic of the 80s. Yeah. Like, anything by Michael Jackson. Party All the Time by Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. Michael wants to party all the time.
And there we go.
Party all the time. Party all the time. All
right, you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
So they're going to be starting a new tournament this fall.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, so follow them on social media, Place to Be Nation. Or if you want to stay tuned to us, we're probably going to talk about it eventually.
Yeah, no,
I have strong opinions.
I'm really excited for the new poll. I can't wait to find out what it is.
So check out a brand new podcast feed brought to you by our very own Jennifer Smith. The Jenny Position can be found on Podbean, iTunes, and your favorite podcatcher app. It will be the new home of Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, and lots of fun new content. For the month of October, Place to Be Nation is holding our first annual Halloween Movie Challenge.
Ooh.
We're giving you suggestions on what movies you should watch leading up to All Hallows Eve. And when you do, go on social media and let us know by using the hashtag PTBN Halloween Movie Challenge. But why stop there, Mary?
Why?
Every time you watch a scary or silly horror movie or special, let us know and we'll add you to the list.
To the Halloween
or they'll add the movie. Yeah. They'll add the movie to the list. Mad Monster Party was like a Rankin Bass one from the 70s, like Rudolph.
My God.
Yeah, that was a weird one I watched with my friend. Huh. Over at the PTBN wrestling feed, on the Place to Be podcast, JT and Scott begin a new decade as Steve Bennett joins them for the 11590 MSG House Show. Wrestling Warzone is back with episode number 30 featuring WCW Clash of the Champions 32. On main event number 134, Scott, Nate, and Steve preview the Wednesday night war between AEW and NXT. Plus, New Japan Classic match picks. And I will say, I watched some of that.
I was
going
to say, how is the new
The new wrestling?
Yeah.
It's okay. I watched the first, like, hour and 10 minutes of it. It's decent wrestling. There's characters that you know. Like, there's some old WWF guys in there and that. But it's not that differentiated for me. It's still kind of the same over. Like, wrestling today, for me, takes itself way too. Well, it takes itself too seriously. And, like, everybody, it's very dramatic and theatrical. And, like, that
goes back to feather boas, furry robes, and noise, and, like, sound effects.
Wrestling is meant to be, like, over the top and all that, but, like, I kind of prefer it to be more campy.
Okay.
And, like, these guys are like, we're legitimate athletes, and I want the title. It's like,
no, they are legitimate athletes.
Yeah.
Like, they are, but you're also an actor.
Yeah, and, like, you can smile and have fun doing it. Like, even the bad guys back in the days would, like, laugh and smile and show.
Yeah.
Like, these guys, like, they only seem to have, like, two gears of range. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, it's only the first episode. I'll probably check it again.
Just to see how they develop.
I mean, I feel bad because I only watch old stuff. So, like, a new thing comes around, I'm like, lame.
Boo.
But, like, no.
I'm a hipster.
I'm not a hipster, trust me, but I'm going to give it a shot. Because, you know, wrestling is wrestling.
Yeah.
Ben Zaney interviews Ian Riccobayani plus Marco and Logan Stunt on episode number 23 of Row 1, Seat 1, and then welcome Impact Wrestling's Ethan Page on a very special episode number 24.
Mm.
Every Wednesday at PlaceToBeNation.com, we've got the most interesting and unexpectedly funny stories on the World Wide Web in Glenn's Weekly Walk. For college football fans, Scott Criscoll and Logan Crossland have their weekly campus hot takes, looking at the previous week and looking ahead to the biggest matchups. Catch their weekly column every Tuesday afternoon. And if you're doing online shopping over at Amazon.com, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage and use www.placetobenation.com/Amazon. It takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you. Check out our social media pages and message board at www.bigelow34.proboards.com for information on joining the GWWE, PPV, and TV Match Ever project. Get on the conversation today and start researching your lists. And now, we want to tell you guys where you can find us on social media.
Now, guys, you know that we are always talking about our Twitter page. Kevin actually posted a really funny meme the other day of Stanley.
Yeah.
That had me giggling for quite a while.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, our Twitter page, we try to keep it really fun, try to keep you guys informed of our recording schedule, because sometimes life happens. So we have to kind of do back-to-back recording, so we won't like, be able to read your live on the air feedback because you haven't had a chance to listen to it yet.
Like this week.
Like this week. But, you know, we're always open to adding it into the next episode, and we'll definitely reply on live on Twitter at Brosis Podcast. So make sure on Twitter you guys reach out to us again at Brosis Podcast. We always like to have a good time there. Now, if you're a little bit more patient with your feedback, you can always send us an email at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com. Even if we do have scheduling issues, we'll be sure to
read
and address any concerns. Yeah, absolutely. So, again, guys, reach out to us either on Twitter at brosispodcast or at the brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com email address.
Amen. And I think we're ready now to do the 12th episode of season 3.
We're going to dive right into the traveling salesman.
Awesome. Let's do it.
All right. So we have our cold open where Michael calls Jim into his office, and Michael has turned his computer into a robot. He has a program on there that whatever he types, the computer speaks it.
And like a Stephen Hawking voice.
Yes. Yeah. So, Michael, like, just types. I didn't even write down what he typed.
Just like, hello, Jim.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, get Pam in here. Get Pam in here. And she's like, I love you, long Tim. And so, of course, like, him misspelling things, Jim and Pam are going to jump on and, like, you know, pick apart.
Mm.
And so it's like, I lobe you. So finally, Michael just gets mad at them and they just leave. And then he types, boobs. Literally, that's just, and he just starts laughing. And that's just the cold open. So we see Angela and Kevin. Like, Angela's, like, kind of
frittered and uncomfortable.
Yeah, like, frenzied.
Yeah.
She's staring at the door, like, watching it very anxiously. And Kevin's like, Angela, corporate left us a voicemail that they did not receive our tax forms last night.
It's a nice impression.
Thank you. Thank you. But, and Angela's like, yeah, Kevin, I know. They got it. I sent them.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, it's really important. And she's like just snapping at him like, oh, really, Kevin? Is it that important? I'm so sorry. I had no idea how important it was.
He doesn't get the sarcasm.
No, he does not pick up on it.
Because he says, well, if you didn't know, it's really important.
It's really serious. So, Andy then, we have a talking head of him, and he's talking about how there were 5 Stanford transfers, and now there's only 2 left with him and Karen. And Andy compares it to them touring Willy Wonka's chocolate factory, and that he refuses to fall into a chocolate river.
Well, to be honest, Tony was very much like Augustus.
Yeah.
He was kind of portly. Yeah.
I mean, I could see Martin as
not Violet.
Mike TV.
Yeah, Mike TV. No. Nah, he's more Charlie Bucket. He should have been the golden ticket winner.
Well, we'll have to find out between Andy and Karen which one gets the last golden standing ticket. Who has a Grandpa Joe? So then Dwight arrives, and he's obviously very late because everybody else has already settled into the office.
Mm-hmm.
And Angela's standing at reception, like, fiddling with jelly beans. And he kind of is just like, we're in the all clear. Don't worry about it. And she leaves the jelly beans there, and she's like, I don't want these. And Pam's like, what the hell? Like, Jesus. So we already are in the conference room. All the salesmen are in there. Yes. Dwight walks in late. And Michael talks about how it was Andy's idea to send out teams of salesmen. So since it was his idea, he gets the first pick. Of course, he picks Michael to suck up.
Yeah.
And then Phyllis, being the senior sales rep, even though she's the same age as Michael, chooses Karen. Stanley passes. And then he's like, you can't pass, Stanley. You gotta pick somebody. And he chooses Ryan.
The kid.
And Ryan goes, I'm really happy to be his first choice after pass.
Well, my favorite is when Michael goes to Stanley, he goes, I think he said, our resident superfly.
Yes, he did. Our resident superfly. So then that only leaves Dwight and Jim who are left.
Yep.
And Dwight goes, does anybody want to switch? And Jim, of course, starting off the day strong, goes, oh, I will. So we go out, and again, Andy is really just trying to kiss Michael's ass.
Yeah, his plan is to brown nose to a obnoxious level.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're out at the cars at this point, and he's like, oh, a Sebring. It's a good car. Like,
he's slobbering on the Sebring.
Oh, my God. And then Michael gives his laundry to Dwight, and he goes, do you want shirts on hangers?
Yes.
And Andy's like, why is he doing your laundry? And Michael says, that's a long story. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you later. So then Michael goes and he says to all the groups, like, we're in the Amazing Race, like the mother-daughter team. we're the firefighters. I forget what he says about Stanley and Ryan.
Marines.
The Marines.
The vets.
And then Dwight and Jim are the gay couple. And so then Karen's like, well, if this is like the Amazing Race, like, is there a prize? And Michael's like, nope, no prize. The prize is everybody does a good job and makes a sale, essentially. But then Michael goes and sabotages poor Phyllis and Karen. He throws her keys under their car.
He wrestles her keys and throws them under the car. It's so great.
And Phyllis is like, we need a broom. Yeah. Do you have a stick?
And then he's like blocking Stanley from leaving. It's great.
So Michael is definitely like, no, it's not a competition, but I'm going to win anyway. So this episode, just to give you guys a heads up, there is a lot of back and forth between different scenes.
They're in the cars and following them on their sales call.
And you're going from group to group to group to group.
So you have stuff at the office, and then you have about four different cars of people. Yeah. But it all kind of,
it's blended well, but I'm going to keep on going like, and then we go, and then we go, and then we go.
Yeah.
So then we're with Jim and Dwight.
Yes.
And Dwight is sitting in the back seat of Jim's. Really small car for somebody who's like 6 foot tall.
Very compact.
Yeah. But he's like, are you seriously going to sit back there? And Dwight goes into safety. You know, the driver always protects his side. So, of course, Jim slams on the brakes and Dwight slams his forehead into the back of his seat. And it's almost like a lesson learned there. So then we get into the car. We're with Michael and Andy. We got the dash cam going.
Yep.
And he asks again.
About the laundry.
So, what's the deal with Dwight doing your laundry? So Michael goes, oh, that's a very long story.
And he tells it in two sentences.
And then, he's like, he tells basically the synopsis of the coup better than we did in our episode.
Dwight tries to backstab him. Michael catches him. Dwight does his laundry.
Yeah.
That's basically it.
So then we're with, but Andy, of course, in suck-up mode goes, that was a very long story, but you told it very well. Like, my God, man. So then we're with Karen and Phyllis, and they're going to a beauty salon.
Yes.
And Karen's, like, really confused. And then they walk out, and the only thing I can say is, big hair, loud makeup.
I would, like, how you would suspect that some woman in Alabama in 1987
would I was going to say 80s, yeah.
Yeah, like...
Like, I expect them to come out in, like, who, in, like, windbreakers.
Who is the televangelist, Tammy Faye Baker, the one with eye makeup and shit? With the big hair? Yes. Kind of like that, yeah.
Holy shit,
Something you would see maybe on Honey Boo Boo.
Like, it's mother.
It?
It's
what?
The clown.
Like, I never saw it. I don't do horror.
All right. So, anyway... Then we're with Stanley and Ryan in the car, and Ryan asks, you know, can I take the lead on this sale? And then, like, after, you can critique me and tell me what I could do better. Ryan's really actively trying
to do
better.
Yeah.
So then we're with Dwight and Jim. They arrive at their sales call, and all Dwight says is, leave the keys. And
Jim goes, you still do this? And he's like, yeah, leave the keys.
So Dwight's like, yep.
He throws Dwight the keys. Dwight's in the back seat, and he cranked. Do you know the song?
Kickstart My Heart.
Yes, by Motley Crue.
Yep. Kickstart my heart, take it down.
Okay. Yeah. And he's just like punching the front
he's
seat.
He's punching Jim's seat.
Playing air guitar and like thrashing.
He's getting himself pumped up for a sale.
We all have our things. Yeah. I probably would do close to
it
the same.
It was just really funny. The kickstart.
Came out of nowhere.
Like, Jim, like, you still do that?
Yeah, right. so they have a past.
He's known about this. Yeah. Well, also, Jim does show a picture of when him and Dwight originally went on sales calls.
Yes.
And
Dwight
has like a curly mullet thing.
Yeah, his hair is all shaggy, and Jim looks like he's in high school.
Yeah,
like this nerdy haircut.
Damn, how old was he when he started here? So, back at the office, Angela asked Pam if she would like to go for a coffee with her.
And she's all like giggly.
Yeah,
and bubbly.
And Pam's like, holy shit, she's being nice. Yeah, that would be really nice. So they assumedly go and do that. Now, Andy is back to talking shit on Dwight while complimenting Michael. But Michael's not really picking up on it. So
either that,
like,
or he's like being immune to it, like kind of like ignoring it.
I can't tell, because like he's just driving and he's just got like this blank stare, and Andy's like, oh yeah, like Dwight did this or blah blah blah, and he's like, don't know what
that's
about.
The thing
about.
Is, Michael would usually kind of
join in.
Yeah, or like show that he likes it, but like he's just got a poker face on.
Yeah, that he, I can't it's tell very, if he's like completely oblivious or if he's actually trying to be a good friend of Dwight right now.
It's very blurry.
Yeah.
It's out of character.
The lines are blurred.
Yeah, it's out of character.
Yeah. But so then we go back and Andy is talking.
What?
Oh, sorry. I couldn't read my own writing. I was like, peon? No. So Andy is doing a talking head about how his plan is taking longer than expected.
Yeah.
That Michael's not really buying into it, but that he has patience. He has walked 2 marathons after all. Which, dear God in heaven.
That's about 20 hours.
Yeah. So then, oh, they're outside in like this park area while he's doing this interview, and you hear a toilet flush. And Michael walks out of the women's room, and he just goes, the men's room was disgusting.
Usually is.
Like, he's so prideful, though. Yeah. Like, the men's room was disgusting.
Public restrooms, ugh.
And so they go on and do their thing. And Jim and Dwight are walking. They're just now walking into the building.
Dwight was thrashing, man.
Yeah. And Jim opens the door for Dwight, and he's like, after you. And so Dwight goes off on this tangent about how 7 out of 10 attacks are from behind, that he's not going to allow Jim to attack him from behind. Jim, of course, has a counterpoint. Well, 3 out of 10 come from ahead. And Dwight, of course, goes, well, I would know how to defend it. Jim just slaps the shit out of him.
Jim bitch slaps him.
He and does.
I don't know how I feel about it.
Jim bitch slaps him and walks through the door, like, but he...
He's laughing.
Like, his face is, like, laughing, but he's also like, holy shit, I can't believe I just did that. Yeah,
like, it was instinct.
Like, he was waiting for him to, like, defend himself. He didn't think he was actually going to land it. And Dwight, like, the door closes on him, and he's stunned.
Yeah, he's like, I can't believe it.
I can't believe he just did that.
But he just doesn't, like, run in and, like,
no,
freak out or anything.
No, he's like... He bested me.
It's kind of like when a dog growls at you, like the big dog, and then the little dog beats it up, and it just kind of is like ashamed.
Yep, exactly. So then we go back, and Michael and Andy are in the sale, and Michael's doing really well. He's talking about the Lake Wallenpaul pack fish that the customer has on his desk, like the picture of it, saying like, oh, my dad used to take me up there, but I never caught anything that big. And Andy starts talking about how in Montauk, do you know where Montauk is?
Yeah, Downeaster Alexa, man. That's on William Joel.
But he's talking about how off of his yacht, he like
his
did a
father
sniped
a shark.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious.
And Michael's just like, he's just like letting it happen, but then he goes back into his sales
pitch. He kind of saves it.
He does.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's great because then Andy's like talking about how they're on the stock market, like they're a big company. Like, they have two totally different types of sales pitch. But Andy is also calling Michael out
he's
on his
undermining
sales
him.
Type.
He's undermining him.
But he's like, oh, that's the classic undersale.
Yeah.
And it gets to the point where Michael actually reaches to Andy's neck.
Like
and
you're
squeezes
doing now.
Him.
Yeah.
He squeezes his neck to get him to shut up.
Yeah. It's...
And
Andy
Michael's
actually goes, ah!
Yeah, I mean, but it's showcasing just how terrible Andy is at sales in front of his boss. Who is, I mean, we've seen him since the first episode.
Well,
Mother
he's
knows
just
how,
trying,
he knows how to close a sale.
Yeah, he's just trying to get Michael to like him. He's,
insecure. He doesn't give a shit about his actual job.
Like, he's not trying to sell paper here. He's just trying to get into Michael's good graces.
Yeah. But, so then we go, and Angela and Pam are actually getting coffee. And Pam comments, like, how nice and happy she seemed.
She must want to be that way all the time.
Yeah, right. And Angela's saying how happy she is that her friend, let's call her Noelle, and Kurt.
Yes.
How Noelle was in a sticky situation with corporate, and Kurt, which we now know, like,
Dwight's
we know
middle name.
Dwight's middle name.
Yeah.
Saved her, and that he was a perfect gentleman, and... then she goes to the counter and she's like, hello?
Yeah, she's immediately reverts to bitch mode.
So, then we go back and Andy is apologizing in the car. We assume they lost the sale because Michael does not look happy.
Well, Andy says, well, we don't want to sell paper to that guy anyway.
Yeah.
And Michael goes, yes, we do.
Yeah, we do.
And then Andy apologizes. He says,
we really shrewded it up.
Yeah, shrewded it.
And,
which is his version of Munson, I guess.
I guess. And he's like, oh, that's just what people in your office call it when you screw up, or like, irreversibly. And
this is when you can tell Mike is annoyed, because he's like, I wonder why they call it that. Yeah. And Michael's like, I don't know. Like, obviously he's Dwight's very, name, but yeah, he's pissed.
He's very solemn. And I can't, but I can't tell if he's pissed because he's caught on or if he's pissed because he lost the sale.
Probably the sale.
Yeah. But then we go, and Phyllis and Karen got a huge order.
Yeah.
And, like, Karen's sitting there with a bitch look on her face.
Because she's wearing this makeup and this big hair.
Dude, she got purple eyeshadow on, like, bright, like, highlighter pink blush on.
Mm-hmm.
Her hair is like a 90s mullet love child with a beehive. Like, it's gross. It's gross. Like, the beehive hairstyle.
I know, it's a mess.
But, so, then Phil's like, oh, how's your wife doing? How's Annie? And he turns a picture around of his wife, the customer, and,
she looks like the girl from Hairspray.
God damn it. Right? She does, and she has a windbreaker on, like a windsuit.
Yeah.
The wind never stood a chance against Annie.
So, like, Karen gets it, like, oh, we're
We're really just playing up on the fact that he loves his wife's terrible style.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we see Stanley and Ryan arrive at their sales call.
Good money.
And Ryan is, like, as we recall, taking the lead on this. And all of the men that come out to meet Stanley and Ryan are African American. And, you know, they're like, Stanley, how's it going, man? And, like, Stanley's Julius, da-da-da. They're all laughing.
Yeah.
Like, so he obviously has, like, a good rapport with them.
Yeah.
Ryan looks like he just pissed his pants.
Yeah,
he does. Because now Stanley goes, well, I'm going to let Ryan pitch to you while I do my crossword puzzle. Yeah. He literally turns 45 degrees, and it's like there's a glass wall there now.
He just does his crossword.
Yeah, he literally stands next to Ryan, not looking at him, doing his crossword.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, hi, Ryan, like, what do you have for us? Ryan is so nervous, he just goes, hi. Hi,
and so shaking
all
yeah.
four of their hands singularly, and that's all we get from that.
Yes.
And, like, Ryan actually, like, went up to Stanley, and that's when Stanley, like, actually took a step away from him. Like, nah, kid, you wanted to do
he
it?
He choked
Go
hard,
for
man.
It.
He choked hard. He buckled
yeah.
it.
Yeah. So now Jim and Dwight are in their sales call.
Sales call. Bobby's
and,
world.
I don't know what the hell just happened. So Jim is doing his sales pitch, and Dwight asks to use the customer's phone. So he dials a number.
He and just plays music.
As Jim is doing the sales pitch, though, he's like, 1, 3, 7. And then he puts hold music on speaker.
Yeah.
And that's it.
It's just like, playing while Jim's making the pitch.
Yeah. So then we see Stanley and Ryan are in the car after their sales pitch. And Stanley is crying, laughing.
Yeah.
You just went, hi, 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 hi. You sounded like my niece and she's 6 months old.
And Ryan looks like he just wants to crawl into a
yeah,
box.
Yeah, he wants to die.
Yeah.
Stanley is literally wiping away tears.
Yeah, just laughing at him.
Like, and he knew what he was walking into and he still didn't warn Ryan at all.
Fuck it.
So then we go back to Dwight and Jim. And Jim is finishing up his sales pitch. They're still on hold on the phone doing whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
And the customer's like, listen, guys, I'd love to, but, like, budget-wise, it just doesn't make sense. I got to go with one of the bigger guys. And so then, of course, Jim goes, how important is customer service to you? And he goes, very. Well, that guy on hold this whole time is one of the big guys.
Yeah.
Jim pulls out his cell phone, dials, and Dunder Midland Customer Service, this is Kelly, how may I help you? And he goes, hey Kelly, this is Jim. And she's like, oh my God, Jim! And Jim just hangs up on her mid-sentence. Like, she sounded like a chihuahua that went rabid.
When her voice gets high, it's amazing. I love it.
Mindy Kaling, I love you.
She's so high, like she high
is.
Energy, you know?
She is. And, you know, the client gets it and he's like, all right, guys, you got me.
Yep.
We'll do business. So then Karen and
Phyllis
are chit-chatting, and Phyllis, like, she's just like, thanks
so
for
nice.
Today. She's, Phyllis is, like, an Matronly. Actual nice person. She's like, I think you're a really nice person. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy you're with Jim. Like, thanks for coming out with me today. And then she drops the P-bomb.
Yeah, this is great.
She goes, I'm so happy you're with Jim because he was hung up on Pam for so long, I never thought he was going to get over her.
And Karen, like, the color drops from... Even with the Whoa. Makeup on, the color drops from her face.
Listen, our mom says I have laser beams for eyes sometimes.
You did last night.
Yo, Karen looks like she could kill somebody. And the cat's out of the bag.
Yeah.
The thing that Jim has been trying to avoid this whole time... is out.
I just like the continuity with Phyllis because ever since, like, day one, whenever Jim and Pam, you'd see her, like, nosing into it.
Yeah.
Or, like, bringing her ear back when Jim's at the desk or something like that. She's always been in the background kind of, like, getting it. And then when Jim was moving back, she's like, Pam, guess what? Like, she was telling Pam.
Well, I mean, even at Jim's party.
Yo, that's right.
She was like, have you heard anything about an office romance? She's like, you tell me. Like, she's always been about the office gossip, but she's not gossiping with anybody else.
Yeah.
She just wants to know about
she
it.
She just knows it all. Yeah.
Exactly. And so they go and see Stanley and Ryan in the
car. He's still laughing.
He's still laughing. Like, hysterically laughing. And Ryan looks like he's about to take a bridge. So now we're back at the office with Andy and Michael. Andy breaks into Dwight's desk.
He's looking for dirt.
Takes his keys. Goes out to his car and finds a receipt for a toll booth. And then he goes back into Michael and is like, yeah, I was walking by his desk and I saw this receipt for a New York City toll booth. What, wasn't it you that told me a story about betrayal and Dwight? Was it you that went behind his back and tried to get his job? And Michael's like, no. No, you have that backwards.
Yeah.
And then he says, fool me once, strike one. Fool me twice, strike three.
That was a very good George Bush thing. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, you ain't gonna fool me again. one of the greatest blunders. I love it.
Oh my god. So Michael's now upset.
Yeah, because
he thinks that Dwight has betrayed him.
Well, and he calls Jan.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
we get there.
Oh, okay.
But so we go and. It's just really quick snippet of Jim and Dwight. And Dwight is saying, like, he likes Karen. He thinks that she's good for him. She's pretty, and she appears intelligent.
Appears.
And he goes, my girlfriend is also pretty and smart. She could be a college professor. And Jim suggests a double date, and Dwight just kind of snickers at him.
Yeah,
that would never happen. So then we go back, and Michael is on the phone with Jan, and she's like, well, yeah, Dwight was at the corporate office, but, you know, it doesn't say who he met with, and under business, it says none of your beeswax incorporated, which is phenomenal, I'm going to use that going forward. But, so then Jim and Dwight return to the office, and Karen's like, hey, Jim, can we talk? So they go off somewhere, and when they go back into the office, well, when Dwight goes back to the office, Michael confronts Dwight in front of everybody.
And Dwight has the line of the episode here, by the way.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
So he goes, hey, Michael, or hey, Dwight, why were you late again this morning? And he goes, slept in. Damn rooster didn't crow.
I don't know why. Like, he was so matter-of-fact about it. It was
he had that up his sleeve for so long.
Yeah, like, he lives on a farm. He's going to use this excuse. And it was wonderful because he, like, didn't bat an eye. It was perfect.
But Pam's face, too. She's like, what? She's like, oh, my. Like, it's almost that's like damn Pam rooster, believed man. It.
Yeah. Like,
Pam was like, oh, my God, he really does use a rooster to wake up every day.
It sounds, like, feasible. Yeah.
And for him, absolutely, it does. Damn rooster didn't crow. So Michael kind of just calls him out, and he's like, I know you went to corporate. Did you betray me again? Like, you need to tell me exactly why you went there. And Angela's, like, in the background, like, super nervous.
Yeah, she's, like, her fingers are, like, twiddling, and she looks uncomfortable. She looks at Pam.
Yeah, and Dwight's like, I can't tell you that. And Michael's like, you have to. You have until the end of the day to tell me why you were there.
Mm-hmm.
So Dwight and Angela are in the break room, facing the same way at separate tables, and not facing each other. So, and they're having a discussion about the situation, and Dwight really wants to call out, like, tell everybody, like, Angela and I are in love. He's like, I want to tell everybody about our true love, and Angela doesn't want everybody to know their business.
Yeah.
And Dwight's like, yeah, but look at Ryan and Kelly. Like, they're such a shining freaking example. And she goes, I hate both of those people.
Oh, God, so good.
So, then Karen and Jim... She asked, like, did you have a...
Karen.
Dude, she, like, straight up asked him, like, did you have a thing for Pam? And Jim lies.
He says, no.
He denies it. And Karen's like, listen, I moved here from Connecticut.
Yeah.
Like, I uprooted my whole life here. And he's like, listen, okay, fine. I did just lie to your face. But I had a crush. I told her about it before I moved. She didn't feel the same. but I'm really glad you're here.
Okay, that line, that these are make-believe characters, but in the moment I was like, fuck this guy. I'm really glad you're here. How weak is that
shit? That's like, thanks for coming.
Oh my god, that is the weakest shit you could say in that moment. Mm-hmm. But she's so into him, she smiles like...
She's so into him, she smiles and it's done.
Like, it's so cold. Like,
I know.
Jim's a dick.
Yeah.
Jim is an asshole.
In this moment, I have to agree.
No, it's been like 4 weeks of Jim being an asshole. Like, let's not, like, mince words here.
You know that Karen... But you have to imagine watching it for the first time.
I did. That's why I feel the way I do. Because 14 years ago or whatever, I watched this. I said, Jim's an asshole. You know? Like, who says these things? Who misleads Karen?
I'm really glad you're here.
Yeah.
It makes me mad that he lies.
Like, not like,
and she's
listen.
Like, listen, mofo.
It's not like he's saying to her, Karen, you did that for me, and I care very much about you, and it means so much to me. I'm just really glad you're here.
Yeah.
Fucking A, man. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, but she smiles and they move on and she's okay. She thinks he told her the truth, even though he lied initially.
He did. Like, oh, that's what made me mad is like, she's like, listen, I moved here for you. Like,
and she has to pull it out of him.
Yeah, she has to pull out like, hey, I made a sacrifice to be here.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, fine. I'll tell you about a crush I had. Because if it didn't mean anything, why wouldn't he just be like,
exactly,
before I moved and before I met you, I had a crush on her.
Fucking Jim.
God damn it. Making everything more complicated than it needs to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's part of the frustration I get with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway.
So we go back to the office and Dwight stands up and he does have a very long speech that he gives.
It's a resignation speech.
It's a resignation
speech. And he pulls like when a sports star moves on or something like that. I want to spend more time with my family.
Yeah. Which we don't know anybody other than his cousin Moe's at this point.
It just sounded like boilerplate shit. It was hilarious.
And Andy sings the Oompa Loompa song.
Yeah. And he just,
like a dick.
Yeah.
So then Dwight is cleaning up his belongings. He has everything in his desk. And he announces to the office that he wills all of his belongings to Michael, except for his Dwight K. Schrute bobblehead that he got for Valentine's Day. And Ryan's like, Dwight will be missed. Not by me, but by somebody.
Yeah, he's such an asshole.
Mm-hmm. Angela's really upset. Like, she's really upset. And Pam looks at her when Dwight's leaving, and she's just, like, panicked. Like,
she
doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
But she keeps it really professional in her talking head. She's like, Dwight, from sales? Oh, yes, he was a gentleman and da-da-da-da-da. Like, she tries to keep it professionally, but she's crying.
Yeah.
I just love Dwight from sales.
And the snort.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Now, Dwight is walking out, and he's talking about how it was a goal. It was a life goal for him to die at Dunder Mifflin.
To die in his chair.
that goal was crushed today.
Yeah.
And while Dwight's leaving, he's in the parking lot. Jim and Karen are just coming back from their conversation where he lied to her face.
Mm-hmm.
And Dwight hugs him. And Jim and Karen are both very confused by this.
Mm-hmm.
And then Andy's in a talking head and he's really happy with how things turned out. He says, you know, I saw a problem and I fixed it. And then all of a sudden, the camera zooms in.
Yeah, across the office.
Angela looks like a fucking swamp thing. Her hair is all messed up. And she's literally trembling with rage.
It's like RBF times 100.
Dude, she is like zeroed in on Andy. She knows that's her target. She's shaking with rage.
Like Predator.
Yeah, but I just love how her hair is down because she had it in such an ornate bun the entire time. Her hair is a mess and she's just like, I will kill him.
Yeah, it's solid.
Yeah, and Andy's like, the camera zooms in on them, and Andy's like, hey, guys.
Yeah, he picks his head up
to try to get back into the camera's view. But you can still see her back there like a swamp thing, ready to like pounce on her victim. It was fantastic ending.
Oh, it was good. It was awesome.
So what did you rate this one, dude?
I gave it 4.4.
I gave it a 4.6.
I liked it. I liked it a lot.
I really enjoyed this one.
Yeah, because it brought everything.
It did. It brought everything together. It had really great laughs in it.
Oh, yeah.
It had really great, like, we saw just how douchey Andy can be. Mm-hmm. We saw that Dwight will protect those he loves.
In a sense, it's almost a redemption thing for Dwight, because the last time it came to something like this, he sold out with Michael and the drug test.
Yep.
And this time he stood on his principles and said, I'm not going to throw Angela under the bus.
Yeah.
You know? So in a sense, it's like, the last two episodes, you saw like a more human, kind of noble side of Dwight.
The caring side.
Yeah. Which is, like I said, you can't just have him be, like, this eccentric lunatic on a farm.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see him getting, the edges rounded off a bit.
Exactly.
God, there's so much here.
What did you take off for?
I took off because, and it's not even, like, something I should probably take off for. I just hate Jim. Like, honestly.
You can't take off points for an episode because of that.
The scene in the coffee shop annoyed me to no end.
Like, it was frustrating because he's lying for no reason. There's nothing to gain out of him lying in that moment.
Yeah, I just didn't like it. I just, like,
I know. But I think that's setting it up for later.
Is it?
You think, but
you've seen the show 90 times.
I'm not giving anything away. But I think that if he were to have just told the truth here, it's possible he could have avoided some precarious situations.
It's so annoying. Another thing I didn't like was the opaque nature of Michael in this episode, where for half the episode, he had no personality.
Yeah.
Like, that was weird. That was a weird way to go about it. And if they did that because they wanted the other people, like the Ryan Stanley, Jim and Dwight, like if they wanted that other stuff to shine through, I get it. But at the same time, it was so out of character that it seemed weird. And
it was, or we could look at it like almost like he was so focused on the sale that he wasn't really trying to get distracted by conversation.
But I don't even know if he should be focused on the sale, because the last episode left off, he thought he was going to die, and then he fucked his boss.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, should he be predisposed with, or like, focused on work when all this other shit is swirling around? Like, I don't know.
You're right.
The lack of, like, Michael being consistent, with who he is, kind of threw me off. Like, because he's just sitting in the car like a sphinx, just staring ahead.
Yeah, that was strange. Then they go in there. It looked like he was, like, high.
Yeah, it was something.
And then he went into the sales department, like,
and he was like, hey, how you doing?
So
I'm
anyway.
Michael Scott. Like, he was normal.
No, but that's Michael's
I know the professional Michael that we see glimpses of every time.
Yeah.
I get that. But, like, even then, he wasn't, like, lighting up.
Yeah.
He was just, like, very down and, like, hey, how you doing? Like, he didn't even have a joke or anything. Like, he was trying.
Maybe he's waiting for the other shoe to drop with the Jan picture.
I don't know. It was just...
He's just always on his guard.
It was... Well, that's the thing we didn't talk about. Jan had to see the photo. It was circulating around.
Toby's ex-wife sent it to him.
That's what I mean. In the last episode. I mean, that's why she was there, right? Because she's just like, I'm self-destructive. This is not good for me. Like, obviously, I don't... Like, this is bad.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure she has friends in the company who said, like, yo, dude.
I don't know, because everybody calls her the Ice Queen.
No, Packer does.
but remember when all of the regional managers met?
I guess. But, I mean, if...
Krager. Hell no. Jan told me I had to fire four people. Did you do it? Hell no.
Krager's awesome. But, like, overall, I docked it for, like, the weirdness of Michael and because I hate Jim.
Okay.
Those were the two reasons. Because Jim is coming across more and more like a scumbag in these episodes. Where you're toying with a woman's emotions. And there's a difference between doing it unknowingly. And I would get that. Because I think people do that sometimes where they don't know what they want. So they're just kind of playing things out. Or
you don't think that that's where Jim is at?
No. I think he knows he wants Pam. He wants Pam.
Then why would he...
Because he can't have her, because he thinks she doesn't want him. Because people don't communicate. Like I said last time, people don't talk because they're afraid of what might happen or what might be said or what won't be said. And, like, it's the whole... That's the frustrating thing that we talked about. Is that nobody says a fucking word.
Yeah.
And, like, so Jim comes across like a scumbag here because he's with this woman who's really into it. He knows she's into him.
Yeah.
She wouldn't have come here, And he's obviously not focused on her. He's thinking about Pam all the time. And to be, like, I don't know. The Jim character is losing a lot of luster for me.
But. See, and that's how Andy is for me.
Oh, Andy sucks. This episode annoyed me.
That's
this
what
was like
I got
season one
half
Michael.
A point taken away.
Yeah, this was season one almost. Michael. Like, upset, like, obnoxious, annoying.
Oh,
like,
too much.
Almost,
it's too much to
it's
watch.
In your face. And it like, kind of takes away from what could be funny.
Yeah, exactly. Because he does have potential. He has potential to be funny,
yeah,
but he's too much right now to the point where, like, I almost wanted to fast forward over.
It's so annoying, yeah.
He is. Like, I can't stand to watch
him. I mean, maybe that's why Michael was playing straight man to him in the car. Maybe, I don't know.
Because
but...
if they were both obnoxious, they would have just not translated
it was
at
just
all.
So fucking annoying.
Yeah.
Ugh. But, I mean, do you want to talk about anything else?
I really enjoy this episode. I do like how we got to get all of the different shining... Like, we shine a light on all the different other salespeople. One thing I forgot to talk about in the last episode, though, was how Creed had the picture of Jan on his desktop
at
one point.
They just
did, like, a flash of the office, and you saw Creed, like, on his desktop.
So he now has that picture and the picture of Hannah's breast on
the squid eye.
Yeah.
Yes.
<It's> so great. Love Creed.
But, no, I think this was an overall great episode.
Yeah, two good ones this week.
Yeah. I was really, really excited to do these.
Whoop, whoop.
Yep. Now, next week, episode 13, The Return.
The Return. If that's what I think it is, I'm going to be pissed off.
I don't know. I don't remember it specifically.
I just have an idea, and if, like, I don't remember these episodes in sequence or anything like that, but if that's what the title implies, I'm going to be pissed off. But anyway, so what's episode 14?
Episode 14 is Ben Franklin.
I remember that one.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of that episode.
I'm very excited about it.
It's cool beans. So yes. We'll get to those next week as we trek our way through season 3 and October for various spooktaculars and whatnot. But we'll be back next week with those episodes. And until then, guys, follow us on Twitter at Brosis Podcast. Get in touch with us if you have anything you'd like us to know, to hear.
Any questions on our archive?
Email us at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com. And until then, I will talk to you guys next time.
Have a great one, guys. But it feels so good. My feet don't touch the ground. Well, everybody knows I'm crazy about you. Just can't stop thinking about my love. Can't stop thinking about my love.